reading it for verse 42. As Paul and Barnabas were leaving the synagogue, the people invited them to speak further about these things on the next Sabbath. When the congregation was dismissed, many of the Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who talked with them and urged them to continue in the grace of God. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. When the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and talked abusively against what Paul was saying. Then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly, "We have to speak the word of God to you first. Since you reject it and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, we will now turn to the Gentiles. For this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord, and all who were appointed for eternal life believed. The word of the Lord spread through the whole region, but the Jews incited the God-fearing women of high standing and the leading men of the city. They stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. So they shook the dust from their feet in protest against him and went to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Well, we're about halfway through the book of Acts, and we continue on this morning with some more good news from those disciples as they were a part of the early church. You know, I was going to bring in this morning like a beach towel or something and have it all folded up and then start slowly unfolding it and see if you could guess what it was. I looked at our beach towels that are all so bland and boring, it wouldn't really work very well. But you get the idea, don't you, about the unfolding of something? If you've ever received maybe a blanket as a gift or something, and you open the package and you open it up, you didn't know what it was, and then you start unfolding it, and before you know it, you get the whole picture and you see what it is. Really, I believe that's what's going on here, as Paul and Barnabas and the disciples have been unfolding the truth to those who are gathered there and letting them know what is really going on. And I think about in the Old Testament how people would have looked at certain things that happened. And if they didn't have the whole picture, they wouldn't know what's going on. Think about Noah and the ark. You know, and those neighbors that were probably around there somewhere would look at him and say, "What in the world is this guy building? Why an ark?" Well, the whole story, we know the whole story. We've heard the whole story. But how that story unfolds, they didn't know. What about the early settlers in America? How could they have ever envisioned a country of 330 million people today? They just wanted to escape the restrictions that they had where they were at, and they wanted to be able to worship God freely, many of them. And here we are, a country of mammoth proportions many years later. Could the Israelites have envisioned a Messiah like Jesus? They were looking for something a little different than what actually transpired. They wanted a king different than the king that Jesus was and is. Flip it around the other way, though. Not how those looking upon that see only a partial picture, but flip it around. Why did Noah build the boat? Because God had told him to, because there's going to be a flood, right? And he's going to save him and his family and the two by twos on the boat. What did the early settlers want as opposed to what actually we see? What about early Christians pointing to the Old Testament to establish the legitimate nature of the Messiah? That's what was happening here in this text. Paul and Barnabas wanted to share with primarily Jews, there were Gentiles there as well, but primarily there was a lot of Jews here that they were speaking to, and they wanted to tell them the good news of Jesus Christ, and they started out with talking about all the failures. And I think about how we failed, humanity. Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, the ark, the golden calf in the promised land, judges and kings when God says, you don't need a king, you've got me, but they ask for a king. And then ultimately exile. There was a lot of failure in the Old Testament, wasn't there? But there was also a lot of grace. As God said, I'm going to give you another chance. I'm going to give you another chance. I'm going to give you another chance. Thank God, He's a God of new beginnings. God intervened throughout history with those chosen people. But they continued to fail. They continued to fall. But then God turned hopelessness into hope. And that ultimately was shown to us in the New Testament. Jesus was the answer, and it was told long ago. And that's what I wanted to get to in these verses, was the fact that Paul and Barnabas, as they're sharing this in the book of Acts and in this text, they refer back to the Old Testament. They refer back to the Old Testament and say, here's some things that were said about what we're witnessing right now. In verse 34 of the text, he's quoting Psalm 2:7, where it says, he said to me, you are my son, today I have become your father. God, or Jesus, in essence, speaking to David, he said, you're my son, today I have become your father. This was a reference, ultimately, to Jesus and his resurrection. Read the context of that song. God showed, even in the Old Testament, something was coming. And Paul and Barnabas and those disciples are trying to unfold this for them. You see, there's that unfolding thing. They didn't get the whole picture. Certainly in the Old Testament, they didn't get the whole picture, but they certainly got pieces of it. And it certainly was unfolding. The hundreds of verses that refer to this one that was to come. We continue on in the text that they're sharing with the people there about this one who came, Jesus. Last week we talked about a lot of this. This week we continue to talk about even more. We tell you, he says in verse 32, the good news. And then he shares these verses from the Old Testament. This good news is eternal. This Jesus died, but he rose again. And Psalm 16:10 says, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will your Holy One see decay. He said, David died, he decayed, Jesus died, he rose again. Even in the Old Testament, this was spoken of as it unfolded for the Jews that were present there, who would have known these texts and heard these things before. And he continues on with the story. What about it is good news and not just a good story? It wasn't just a miracle, but it was a miracle with an eternal purpose, folks. It was a miracle with an eternal purpose. Through Jesus, forgiveness was proclaimed. It's not just a good story. And there are some people that treat the Bible as just a good story. But what happened here was a miracle with an eternal purpose. Not through anyone or anything else. In fact, we saw through the Old Testament how over and over and over again humanity failed. We couldn't keep the law. We blew it all the time, and you and I blow it even today. We are sinners who need a Savior because we cannot be righteous on our own. Paul also shares with them from Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 5. That even when many were told about what this good news that was coming, many would not believe. And it's still the truth today. But Paul and Barnabas were talking to people who they said, we want you to believe the story. The eternal story. The miraculous story. The unfolding story. You know, there's a text in 1 Corinthians 13:12 that kind of talks about the unfolding, doesn't it? You've heard the love chapter in 1 Corinthians 13, and there's that verse in verse 12 that says, now we see but a poor reflection, then we'll see face to face. Now we know in part, then we shall know fully. Isn't that not an unfolding of the truth that we are here to hear? That unfolding continues. Paul and Barnabas continued to teach, and there were many who came to faith in Jesus Christ. The agitators didn't listen because it disturbed their own understanding of life, their own understanding of religion, their own understanding of hope. I pray that it would continue to unfold so they could see the whole picture and realize that what went on there became complete. The full unfolding. The full unfolding. The answer is the complete unfolding. 46 and 47. When Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly, "We had to speak the word of God to you first. Since you rejected and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles, for this is what the Lord has commanded us. I've made you a light for the Gentiles that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." And that too was proclaimed back in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. When he said to Abraham, "All the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you." You see, even back then it was unfolding. And yet many of the Jews thought it was just for me. Whatever the salvation was, it was just for us because we're the chosen people. No, he says in Isaiah 49:6, which is also in the text as well here, "I have made you a light to the Gentiles that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." That was what he sent them to do, to share this good news that they've received from God, their Father, and to share it with others who would listen. They did a poor job of it. And sometimes I think you and I do a poor job of it. But it's been unfolded for us. And Paul and Barnabas took the Old Testament and showed the Jews it was there. It was unfolding back then. And now you've got the whole picture. It's completely unfolded for you. You and I have reason to rejoice. The Gentiles were glad. Can you imagine that? They thought, you know, can we have what it is that you're talking about? Paul says, yep, it's for you too. It's for you too. And so the word of God spread. But what we need to know here today, just like what happened back then in the text that we read in chapter 13, resistance is always there, isn't it? There are always those who resist. There are those who don't like us as Christians. And sometimes you and I do not have a great witness, do we? Sometimes we fail. Sometimes we don't act Christ-like in the way we live our lives. Maybe that's why some people resist. But we're called to continue to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And part of the good news of Jesus Christ is to share whatever it is we have to share in love, in patience, and ask God to work in their life as God has worked in our life. But what I do want to close with is this. Even with resistance, God's purposes will never be thwarted. God's purposes will never be thwarted. It's nice if I can be a part of it. But God's going to do what God's going to do even without me. But isn't it a joy when God uses you and me to be a part of His work? That's what He wants us to be a part of, doesn't He? And I want to be a part of that, and I hope you do too. Let's pray. God, thank you for the unfolding of the whole picture, and we see it right here in the 13th chapter of Acts as Paul is sharing and Barnabas are sharing with these Jewish believers, primarily Gentiles as well. This was told you way back when, but you didn't see it. And as they continue to unfold, the whole picture comes into being. Jesus was the answer. Even in the Old Testament, He was spoken of, and it completely unveiled in the New. Thank you that we can look back and see that full picture. And help us, Lord, as we share with others, to unfold that picture for them too, as you unfolded for us in your word. God, as we spend some time in closing, celebrating Holy Communion, this sacrament, this act of sharing together reminds us of a couple things. One, we are part of a community of faith. And number two, we share in the fact that Jesus did what He did. It had an eternal reason. It wasn't just a miracle, but it was a miracle with an eternal purpose. And we celebrate that this morning. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name.